Our text this evening you'll find at the end of verse number 33 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Now our life on earth is a life that is full of questions. There are questions which you and I are continually asking of ourselves and indeed of others that we rub shoulders with in our daily life. Then there are questions that others also put to you and I as we mingle with people and converse with them on a daily basis. May these questions of life may oftentimes be very important, and they may have oftentimes have very definite and indeed very dramatic repercussions and consequences relating to them. Well, in our text here tonight, we see also a question that was asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whenever he was here on this earth. It is a most solemn question. I believe it is one of the most solemn questions that you will find in all of the Bible. It was addressed to the Jewish scribes and Pharisees of the day of our Savior while he was here on earth. Back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, there you find the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about these people, about these scribes and these Pharisees. But whenever we come to Matthew chapter 23, he is not talking about them, but rather he is talking to them. He is speaking to them directly. He is speaking to them face to face. And in our Bible reading here tonight, in verse number 13 down to verse number 33, you will see that he pronounces eight particular woes against these particular men. It is one thing for the Lord to pronounce one woe against a particular person, but for him to pronounce eight woes against these scribes and these Pharisees, it really shows us the seriousness of these words that the Lord Jesus Christ utters, not only in our text tonight, but indeed in the entirety of our Bible reading. You see, every one of these woes were really a sign of the Savior's displeasure and the Savior's grief at their sinful life. Yes, outwardly, these men were very religious. They showed, as it were, an outward form of religion. Yet these were men who lived, and the Savior tells us that in our Bible reading, they lived the life of the hypocrite. What went on in their heart was different from the outward appearance of their life. They were men who continually added the traditions of men to the law of God. They were men who were unjust in their dealings with others in society. They were men who never repented of their sins. They were men who repudiated the gospel. They were men who rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And not only that, but they also hindered others also from coming to Christ and trusting Christ as their Savior. And it is in light of all this that the Lord Jesus Christ now addresses them at the end of our Bible reading tonight in verse number 33. And you'll notice here that he doesn't mince his words. He says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" How can ye escape the damnation of hell? And by those solemn words and that solemn question in particular at the end of our text, you see here that he warned them that they were bound for hell. Why? Because of their sin and because of their unrepentant life before Almighty God. And friends, tonight in this gospel service, it is this solemn question that I want us all to think about and to ponder for a little while this evening. If you and I in this meeting tonight, if we are to be wise regarding the vital matter of the salvation of our soul. And I believe this is a question that we all must ponder and consider. How can ye escape the the damnation of hell? That's the question I want every one of you to think about, from the very youngest to the oldest, in this meeting tonight. And as you think about this question, there are three things in particular that I want you to note from it. When the Lord Jesus speaks these words and says, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" I want you to notice, first of all, that this question reminds us of the reality of hell. Look again at what Christ says. He says, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" Think of the person who uttered this question. It was God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He who was without sin. My, the Bible tells us He was one who always spoke the truth. The Bible says there was never guile in the mouth of Christ. The Bible says neither was there any deceit in His mouth. He Himself in John 14, speaking to His disciples, He said, "I am the truth." He is the truth. He always spoke the truth. Thus, when He mentions here the word hell in this question to these scribes and these Pharisees, what is Christ doing? He's warning them. He is sounding a warning note to them that hell is a real place. That hell is a literal place. Not only was He warning these scribes and Pharisees about the certainty and the reality of hell, but also by these same words and by this word hell in our text tonight, He would warn you and I also of the certainty of the reality of hell, that hell is a real, a literal place. And I emphasize that tonight. Why? Because there are many in our world tonight, many both religious and indeed non-religious, and they would deny the existence of hell. They would say there is no such place. There are many in our society tonight, and they will tell you that there's really nothing after this life, after this world, that you and I are just like the beasts of the field, and after we die, that's the end of our existence. That's the thinking of many. I would say to you tonight, do not believe those lies of the devil. Some of you who are older may remember back to John Lennon, sung a famous pop song many years ago, "Imagine." And one of the lines of that song were these words, "Imagine there is no hell." That's the thinking of many in our society tonight, that there is no hell, that this place does not exist. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ in our text tonight, and indeed not only in the words of Christ in our text, but indeed throughout the entire Bible, the Word of God, it is made very clear that hell is real, hell is sure, and hell is certain. And the Word of God often warns us about hell. God's Word describes it in Revelation 20, verse 15, as the lake of fire. The little book of Jude, verse 13, describes it as the blackness of darkness forever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, speaks of those in hell and says they shall be tormented day and night forever. You read Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and it tells us how it is a place of eternal separation from God. Verse 26 of that chapter tells us how there is a great gulf, a great separation between heaven and hell. Oh, friend, understand tonight that hell is a real place. It is a most awful place. It's a place that you do not want to go to or be in. It's a terrible place. Speaking of those in hell, the hymn writer says, "Horrors past imagination will surprise your trembling heart." And my hell, yes, that place is the place of God's everlasting punishment upon every unrepentant sinner. You see, God is holy. God is a holy God. God is just, and God must punish sin, and those who live in sin and in rebellion to His Word and defiance of His law. The Bible declares in Psalm 9, verse 17, that the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. That's the end of sin. That's the end of forgetting God. That's the end of setting aside the ways of God and the word of God and the laws of God and the commandments of God. That's the end of a life lived in open defiance of Almighty God. Turning your Bible, please, with me back to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 16. Back to the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 16. Look with me, please, at verse number 32 and verse number 33. Here you read about Korah and his friends going down into hell. Why? It was due to their sin, due to their rebellion against Almighty God. Look at verse 32 and verse 33 of Numbers chapter 16. It says, "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them," notice it, "went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation." They went down alive into the pit because of their sin and their rebellion against Almighty God. And I want you to notice the mention there of that word pit in verse number 33. In the original language of the Old Testament, that word pit literally means the underworld. It's the Old Testament word for hell. Here you see that hell is a place of judgment. Here you see that it is a place that God has created for the unrepentant sinner right in the very heart of this earth. Oh friend, let me warn you tonight from this pulpit that hell is real. And if you leave this world unsaved, if you leave this world an unrepentant sinner before Almighty God, you will spend eternity in that place forever and ever without any escape, without any exit, without any deliverance. Oh, be warned tonight of the awful end of sin. The Bible says, "When sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." We live in an age when people think lightly of sin. They laugh at it. They mock at it. But the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Oh, there's an awful whirlwind of reaping judgment for those who live in sin and die in their sin unrepentant before Almighty God. You think tonight of this text, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" These are the words of Christ from the very lips of the Son of God. And my, through them he warns you and I, every one of us in this meeting tonight, of the awful reality of a lost eternity and hell itself. Yes, these words and this question, this word hell in our text tonight, it reminds us of the reality of hell. But secondly tonight, this question also not only reminds us of the reality of hell, but it also reminds us of the love of Christ. And I want you to see that tonight. It reminds you and I of the love of Christ. Our text here says, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" You think tonight of a father and a mother warning their young child of some particular harm or of some particular danger. Why does the father do that? Why does the mother do that? Because of their love for the child. Because of their love for that little one, lest they should find themselves in harm's way. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ here, who is speaking in this text, he warns these scribes and he warns these Pharisees of the awful danger of hell. Why did he warn them? He warned them because of his great love, I tell you, his great love for them and his great love toward them. And likewise in this meeting house tonight, through these very same words, he warns you and I also of the reality of hell. And why does he warn us? He warns you and I because of his great love for us, and his great love toward us. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is one who has a heart that is full of love, a heart that is full of compassion for sinners like you and I. Indeed, in the Bible, Christ is described as the friend of sinners. Such is his love and his compassion for sinners. He is known as the friend of sinners. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ in his encounter with the rich young ruler in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. He met with that young man, a man who showed such promise for the things of God, yet sadly he rejected the Savior. He turned his back upon the Lord. But what does it say about Christ in his dealings with that young man in particular? The Bible says this: then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. The Christ had compassion for him. He had love for his soul. My, there was concern in the very bosom of Christ for that young man. Such is the love of Christ for sinners. Yes, our text tonight reminds us of Christ's great love for sinners. The very fact that Christ spoke these words, "How can ye escape the damnation of hell?" The very fact that he warned these scribes and these Pharisees of the reality of hell, it shows his love and his compassion for them. And the very fact that he warns you and I also about the reality and the certainty of hell from these words shows his love for us. Yes, our text reminds us of God's great love in Christ for the sinner. And I want you to notice also tonight and to remember that the pinnacle of that very same love, my, it is seen in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven, that he came down into this sinful world, and then he went willingly to the cross of Calvary. And there on that cruel cross he suffered and he bled and he died as an atonement for sinners. My, he did it all to provide a way of salvation from sin for guilty, hell-deserving sinners like you and like me in this gathering this evening. You remember how Paul described the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross? Remember, Paul was the chief of sinners. He said, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." My, Paul, as he considered the love of Christ, he saw that it was revealed in Christ coming and dying for him upon the cross of Calvary. Turn with me in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Look with me, please, at verses 6 and verses 8 of that great chapter. And here you see the love of God in Christ, and Christ going all the way to the cross of Calvary, dying in our guilty room instead as a substitute for sinners, bearing upon himself the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. It says in verse 6 of Romans chapter 5, "For when we were yet without strength," when you and I could do nothing to save ourselves, "in due time, at God's appointed time, in the plan and the purpose of Almighty God, Christ died." Who did he die for? For the righteous? No, it says he died for the ungodly. Verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And friend, in our meeting place here tonight, I urge you to view Christ bleeding and dying for sinners upon the cross. Behold him upon the cross of Calvary, the Son of God, the man of sorrows. And there you see the wonder of God's love in Christ for sinners like you and sinners like me. We were singing that great hymn earlier on, "Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me, it brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary." Many today in our world, they mock Christ. They despise Christ. They deride him. He means nothing to them. But I trust and pray that this is not the case with you, my friend, in this gospel meeting tonight. As you ponder this solemn question, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Oh, see from this warning note of the Savior, my, see that he loves you. And in reminding yourself of that love tonight, remember that that love took him all the way to the cross of Calvary to die for sinners. Speaking of that very sacrifice, Christ himself said, "Greater love of no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." This question warns you and I about the solemn reality of hell. It also reminds you and I of the greatness of the love of Christ, indeed that love that took him all the way to the cross of Calvary. But one final thought tonight from this text, this question also reminds us that there is a way of escape from hell, a way of deliverance from hell. Our text asks the question, it says, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? The very fact there that Christ uses that word escape in this question, it shows to us that there is a deliverance from hell. And what is that way of deliverance? That way is by the sinner repenting of his sin before God, by him trusting personally in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for his salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of that way of deliverance. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, when he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And again over in John's Gospel, chapter 6, when he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Friend, in our meeting tonight, this is how you can be right with God. This is how you can be saved from a lost eternity in hell. This is how you can be made sure of heaven before Almighty God, by repenting of your sin and by you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. What is repentance? My repentance is a change of mind regarding your sin. Instead of delighting in it, it means you realizing that it is wrong and that it is grieving to Almighty God. It means you confessing it and acknowledging it to God that it is wrong. It means a turning away from sin in your life. It means a forsaking of sin. In the book of Ezekiel, the Lord says, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? My friend, have you come to that point before God when you realize that your sin is wrong and grieving before Almighty God? Has there been that turning from sin, that desire to be delivered from sin? Has there been that forsaking of sin, that turning away from it? Saving faith as you trusting solely and absolutely in the blood of Christ shed at Calvary to blot out all your sin before God. It is you trusting solely and absolutely in the perfect righteousness of Christ for your acceptance with Almighty God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, as you would examine your life tonight in the light of Scripture, let me ask, is there that repentance from sin in your life? Is there faith in Christ, saving faith in Christ for salvation? I must warn you tonight that if you do not trust Christ as your Savior and repent of your sin, you can never know your sins forgiven by God. You can never be in God's heaven. You can never be saved from a lost eternity in that awful place which the Bible calls hell. Turn in your Bible over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 16, the very last chapter of Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter number 16. And I want you to see what the Lord Jesus Christ himself says again. In verse number 16, away near the end of the chapter. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, and the verse number 16. He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice these final words. But he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not, the man, the woman, the person who does not repent of their sin and does not trust Christ as their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ says he shall be damned. He'll be lost. He'll be consigned to a lost eternity in that awful place which the Bible calls hell. You think tonight of these scribes, these Pharisees to whom the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking and to whom he addressed the very words of our text too. I want you to notice tonight that there was no salvation for them from sin. There was no salvation for them from a lost eternity in hell, despite all their religious privileges that they had and had enjoyed from the earliest of days. Why? because they fail to repent of their sin. They fail to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. That is why he speaks to them now at the very conclusion of this time with them. And he says, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? In other words, there was no hope of escape for them from a lost eternity. They had rejected Christ. They had went on in their sin. They had not repented of their sin. They had set Christ aside as their only remedy from sin and as their only hope of salvation. Hence he warns them. He speaks to them. And he tells them, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? In other words, there was no hope of escape for them because they had turned their back upon the Lord. What an awful indictment. What an awful sentence from the very lips of Christ. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? You know, whenever you're driving along the road, maybe at night, and you see a red light in the road, you take note of that red light. It's a warning to you to slow up. There's some hazard, there's some danger, as it were, along the road. You slow up, you're watching, you're alert, you're looking out for the danger, whatever it is. A friend in our meeting tonight, unsaved man, woman, young person in our meeting tonight, let me say this. This text, I believe, is God's red light warning to you. It's God's red light warning to your soul and your unsaved condition in this meeting tonight. Might as if the Lord is standing before you in the very road of your life that you're on. And he's warning you of your sin. He's warning you of your need of Christ. He is warning you of the consequences of going on in your sin and failing to trust Christ as your Savior. And my, as he waves that warning light before the very mind and before your heart and before your soul, as he speaks to you tonight from this solemn text, he says, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? If you do not come to Christ and trust him, if you will not repent of your sin and turn to the Lord. Oh, friend, tonight, in light of that solemn warning, I urge you now this very night to heed it, to come now by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him for mercy. Call upon him for salvation. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There's no hope of deliverance from the lost eternity if you neglect salvation in Christ. But praise God tonight, you're in the day of opportunity. You're in the day of grace. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved tonight, don't go on one moment longer without the Lord. Call upon the Lord for mercy. Call upon the Lord to save you. Thank him for dying on the cross for you. Have done with your sin. Cry out like the old publican of old, God, be merciful to me,